Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely, since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Thank you very much, Audrey. Thank you very much. And this is Halloween night. Is that correct? I wish you could see how we were all dressed in the studio tonight. Mike is dressed as a very handsome, Mike Sorrento, a very handsome Italian-looking man in a three-piece suit and expensive Italian shoes. Lucy Spears, she is dressed as a beautiful redhead with intelligence off the page, and Audrey, of course, a brunette who is as technologically competent as anybody in the world alive, and she is also very beautiful. And I am dressed tonight as an old coot. So if you happen to get a little camera shot of us sitting here in the studio, you'll know what we look like. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network, ladies and gentlemen, and the Jumble Justice Radio Show. By the way, thinking of Johnny Cash, I saw that the Travis Show, one that's on at the same time we are, or at 8 o'clock or something, when you go to the Blog Talk Radio page, he's doing a show on the life of Johnny Cash. Now, don't turn away and go see that, or hear that here. That's right. I always talk about radio as seeing, because I think you can see the pictures better with radio because you're using your mind more. But anyway, I'm your host, and away we go. And tonight we're going to have an interesting type of show. Our show is what? About news, issues, events, and developments in criminal justice, whether they be historic or whether they be current. And our show is dedicated to those energetic and tireless police, court, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals who often are not appreciated until you call them that once or twice in your life that you need them. Then all of a sudden, they're important people. But we want to thank them for their service. We try to look inside the criminal justice practice and take a close-up look at its professionals. Tonight, we're going to do a look at some ancillary criminal justice service. Yes, we're going to go back to an old radio show, get away from some of this complicated, tedious, controversial things after I get done with the news segment, and listen to our old-time radio show, Broadway Is My Beat. It was on from 1949 to 1954. I know none of you were alive at that time. I think I had just turned senior citizen in 1949. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. But anyway, it's a radio drama, and it The cop is a New York City tough homicide cop, and he works Broadway. That's his beat. So I think you'll enjoy that. If you don't look at these old time, or listen to, I said look again. If you don't look and listen to some of these old time radio shows on archive.org, you're really missing something. Some of those, the writing in some of those shows was absolutely fantastic. Anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight after we do some news. You could do a call-in number if you wanted. We don't like call-ins, really. 347-996-5983, 347-996-5983. If you're looking to listen to this on the web or something, you can probably see it. Anyway, we have a blonde joke tonight, and I am going to do it. Isn't that incredible? Yes, Lucy is busy with her costume. She brought a cat in the studio tonight also. Lucy, that ain't, well, I'm not going to say it. I never like cats for some reason. They give me the creeps, but it is Halloween. I know you cat lovers will, you know, be mad about what I said, but I've never owned a cat. I'm a Basset Hound fan, if you ask me. That's the pet to have. When you need a pillow, you got one. Okay, here's our joke for tonight. And it says, a blonde was playing Trivial Pursuit one night. It was her turn. The blonde rolled the dice and she landed on science and nature. Her question was, if you are in a vacuum and someone calls your name, can you hear it? She thought for a time and then asked, is the vacuum on or is it off? Is it on or is it off? Okay. I got a green tip here for tonight I thought you might enjoy. And this one has to do with the upbringing of your children, of your kids. And it's entitled from Esma Floyd's little book called 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. We still have a few thousand to go to cover in her book. close to a thousand. And it says this, encourage your kids to drink water from a faucet or filter jug rather than highly packaged carbonated drinks or juice packs. If they do drink from plastic, make sure they know to recycle it or bring it home rather than throw it away. I don't know, if I catch my kid drinking from the faucet, does that mean you can't use a glass? Oh, no, must not mean that. That would be a little weird if you catch your kid drinking out of the faucet, but I'll bet it happens more than once in raising children. Okay, that's our green tip for tonight. You've got to remember now, this global warming is getting worse. Oh, as a matter of fact, I think the evidence is showing it's going the other way. We now have eminent scientists claiming that in 10 or 15 years, many things could be frozen. Oh, boy, it scares me. So I don't know. I think maybe live today and don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, we have to do that a little bit, but this is incredible. I was wondering tonight, talking about Halloween, what's going on in Detroit. Remember, Detroit was famous for decades for their Devil's Night, and that was really more than one night. I think I heard a newscaster on 760 AM say that it was three nights, that this tonight will be the last of like three nights, and they've only had like 30 fires each night, so that'd be only like 90, when they used to have like, what, 700, 800, 900 fires, where people just go up and set a house on fire or, you know, an apartment or, you know, whatever. I mean, creepy. And I'm sure people were killed in those events over the years. So that is really, really strange. Well, keeping in mind that we want to reduce crime, and we want to make sure that firearms are used properly. The Ohio Coalition Against Firearms has a message for you.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, I'm sorry, that message wasn't for you. That message was for the criminals on the street who listen to the radio show. I'm sure there's one. And they're supposed to go down and turn in their guns. They should be carrying firearms. That is really, really something. So anyway, you know, one of the things I wanted to do, we had on the show here a couple weeks ago, maybe three, we had Radley Alco on the show, and he's a really seasoned writer and editor of Once a Reason magazine and different things like that. But his book was entitled Rise of the Warrior Cop. And I'd like to read you a passage out of that book, but if you have a chance, I just got my hard copy in the mail 2 days ago. It is an outstanding book. And keep in mind, I should have to defend myself, but I am as pro-cop as you can get, but I'm also worried about over-policing. I'm also worried about abuse of authority, and I've never failed to take a stand when that occurs. And I'm a little bit worried about, it seems like I know every one of these incidents will be Monday morning quarterback. You and I weren't there, so it's hard to tell exactly what happened. But some of them are pretty clear. But this book traces the history of policing through the Roman Empire, through England, to the United States. And it shows how the police are supposed to stay out of our life. And with all this stuff that's going on now with NSA surveillance accusations, not accusations, they've proved that they've been looking at stuff that some of the American public don't think they should be looking at. And I agree with some of that, but that's another subject for another time. But we don't want police to abuse our authority. And that's why for the longest time in the United States, we were policed by citizens. Our cops today are supposed to be citizen police, not part of the regime. And way back in Roman time, I won't go through all this, but, they didn't have police again after they had a police force. The police weren't even allowed to come into the city of Rome because people didn't want it. They didn't want that type of control. And then later on, things fell, and Rome never had any police for a long time, for hundreds of years. So anyway, it's an interesting subject, but he has a quote in here that I think from James Madison that starts the introduction chapter that I think you would enjoy. And this one you could even write down. There are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations, meaning usurpations of authority. In other words, gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. And what I used to say when I worked in state government as a teacher, I would say, what you have to worry about is that little move one finger forward, another finger, take over this, take over that. One little tiny thing at a time, and pretty soon if you make the daily, weekly, monthly activity, you and I have things to worry about when the government does that. And we're to the point where they know better. Who are these people, these women and men? They're people like you and I, but they know better what you should do with your whatever, your firearms in your house, your automobile, I mean, on and on and on. I'm not knocking efficient, effective government, but its business is not everything. And we are seeing this more. And his book is about the militarization of the police. You should see the book cover. I mean, these cops look like they're going to the war, the biggest war in the world that you've ever seen. So anyway, we need to think about that, but that was a good one. Another quote that he starts chapter one with was equally entertaining, and it's from a poet. And the poet was a Juvenal. He was a first century Roman poet. And his quote was, "Quis custodes ipsos custodes?" And translated into English, that says, "Who will watch the watchers? Who will watch the watchers?" And Shane Harris has that great book on the National Security Agency. And the book is called The Watchers. I recommend that one to read also. Again, I'm not a paranoid person. I'm just saying even people that work in these positions should realize they don't have ultimate authority over everything in our life. And we should pay attention to that. And we only get their attention by continuously saying liberty should come first. Of course, we're concerned about security and order, but we can't do everything. Okay. Next, let's look at some news stories. Boy, we got a bunch of them here tonight. I could never be able to do all of these things, but let me look at some of these interesting news stories. How do you celebrate Halloween? Have you heard about the guys in Philadelphia? The police and the FBI, they're investigating a robbery of an armored car. In Philadelphia, is what they call Holmesburg section. I would know what that is. And the car, the robbery happened when the car was parked outside of a Wells Fargo bank at 8001 Frankfort Avenue. Police officer stretched tape off the crime scene, but one of two armored truck drivers showed investigators how the three robbers, two of them carrying semi-automatics, grabbed more than $300,000 in cash from the pushcart as the guard was heading it into the bank. You've probably at one time in your life driven by a bank and seen them push a cart into the bank while they're carrying money and stuff. Now, the two males were wearing Halloween masks. That's good. They were all dressed up for the occasion. But that's probably more fun more fun and beneficial to them till they're caught, and they will be. More beneficial to them than Devil's Night in Detroit and burning houses down. But isn't that incredible? I mean, I used to teach a whole course called Analysis of Robbery, where we looked at all the different robber types, looked at everything in the world about them. And one of the odd things was that the guy that was my colleague at the University of Cincinnati, of course, was killed in a robbery. You've heard me talk about that before. New York City police have done a marvelous job. I saw people talking about the police chief today. But Ray Kelly, who's done a marvelous job, this is a place that took their homicide rate from 2,200 a year down to 450, 500, something like that. And they did this by using stop and frisk. And I have heard so many commentators, including lawyers, talk about stop and frisk that know nothing, virtually nothing about it. Stop and frisk has been around and approved by the court since 1967, Katz versus the United States. That was a Cleveland case, I believe. And it has proof involved. You don't just go, okay, here's a person over here or a minority, so let's go search them. You can't do that. You can't even stop and question them. You have to have suspicion, then you kind of check up on them. If you have reasonable suspicion, if you have suspicion, you stop them and you're talking to them and they want to walk away, I would advise not doing that. They can. If you have reasonable suspicion, they can't walk away. They have to talk to you. If you have reasonable suspicion that they're armed and dangerous, then you're allowed to pat down their outer clothing. If you don't detect anything that could be seen as a weapon or considered a weapon, you can't go inside their pockets or purse or whatever. But if you feel like a hard metallic object, then you can go in and take the gun out. And, of course, all this is below probable cause, which is what the Bill of Rights requires for making a lawful arrest and a lawful search. But anyway, they're on the mayor, and Brown University ran him out of a speaking engagement this week. And they're talking about how all-time high in 2011, the stop and frisk, 684,330, mostly of black and Hispanic men. This lawsuit was filed, and the judge put a hold on the case and got rid of the judge because he said the judge was not fair, that she was leaning toward one side. She was on the side of the people. But you know whose lives they're saving when you talk about the minorities and the in New York and the majority of the cases being those? Blacks and Hispanic men. That's whose lives they're saving. Not the people that's carrying the guns, but the people they were going to shoot eventually or could shoot. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that case turns out. But that is really something. Here's another case where a woman dies in a shooting after she refused to drop a knife. I'm not even going into the details of this, but, you know, again, I wasn't there. But anyway, the woman was running around crazy with the knife. They told her to put down the knife. They didn't do it. And they shot and killed the woman with a knife. You know, basic boxing, basic karate, whatever. Sometimes you don't need to use the most serious force to win over in a situation. Maybe you could step out of the way. You could parry a knife if she actually attacked you. You could, block her knife and hit her. You could kick her to the other side of the room and then take the knife. But anyway, they shot and killed her. The woman had a history of alcohol and drug abuse, which she was tearing up the house, and she picked up this knife. So anyway, you know, it's justified. What the police did is justified. They didn't do it. I mean, they had the right to shoot her, but how many times the police have a right to shoot somebody and they don't? I mean, you know, I don't know. Seemed to me like the woman should have been handled a different way. Somebody said, why don't you have pepper spray her or use your taser or something like that? You don't hear much about the taser anymore, actually. But you could do that, too. But you could do other sensible things. You know, anyway. Here's another story about New York City. I'm not even going into the details, but they've got more undercover cops in New York City now than they've ever had. So this is a city that's policed, quote unquote, and they're at the Republican National Convention. They're at college student clubs. They're in Islamic facilities. They're at critical mass bicycle rallies. They're all over the place, and people are saying that maybe this is a little too much, that we have all these people involved in that type of thing. Here's a very interesting story I found, and boy, what a person this nun must have been. This is about Antonia Brenner. The article is entitled Prison Angel, Who Took Inmates Under Her Wing. She's dead at age 86. But Mother Antonia Brenner, who left a comfortable life in Beverly Hills to minister to inmates in a notorious Mexican prison, eventually becoming a nun and spending more than 30 years living in a jail cell to be closer to those that she'd served. She died in Tijuana, Mexico at age 86. Isn't that an incredible story? Goes on and tells stuff about her, but she had a neuromuscular disorder, myasthenia gravis, whatever that is, and she was a member of the Utah Servants of the 11th Hour. And she spent all those years working with a prisoner. Just absolutely incredible. Just absolutely incredible. She began providing for inmates' basic needs, giving them aspirin, blankets, toiletries, prescription eyeglasses. She sang at worship services, all that business. How many people would be willing to do something like that? Not many. That is for sure. Did you know that our deportations are down? Yes, U.S. authorities deported fewer immigrants in fiscal 2013 than any time since President Obama took office. And according to secret numbers obtained from the Center for Immigration Studies, which suggests Mr. Obama's non-deportation policies have hindered removals of illegal immigrants. I can't imagine that. Can you imagine that, Mike? Audrey? Lucy? Yes, I bet it could. And, you know, it all has to do with votes somewhere down there in the end. And we'll get the DREAM Act passed, which, you know, portions of that aren't too bad, but some other things. We'll do a whole show on immigration here, not too soon or not too far away, because that's going to be a big, big topic. More than 11 months into operation, DACA had granted tentative legal status to 430,236 illegal immigrants. Can you believe that? This is deferred action for childhood arrivals. So these folks can stay here forever. If you haven't seen what the immigration things are like, go ahead and go to immigrationcounters.com. The numbers change right in front of your eyes, and it'll tell you all the details on what's going on in terms of numbers and the immigration issue. But anyway, did you know that NSA spied on the future Pope Francis before and during the Vatican conclave, at which he was chosen to succeed Benedict XVI? Yes. Our NSA is right on the ball, aren't they? They're all over the place. And, of course, Chancellor Merkel in Germany, she's not real happy to find out they were spying on her. She's a little mad, or listening to her phone calls, as a matter of fact. But anyway, that's enough for the news tonight. Let's go ahead and take a listen to this radio show. And this is a show about a detective in New York City who works on Broadway. That's his beat. And the title of this show is the first one, and it's called The Jimmy Dorn Case. And 1949 is when this show originated in New York City. I think you'll enjoy these if you like detective stories. Here we go. Give me a minute to set it up.
Broadway's my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Thor. Broadway, where a pale and hungry girl walks like a queen because Broadway's on Green Street. Where a fat man stands with begging eyes because he knows his dreams will never come true. It's a cry or a laugh, but nothing in between. Either way, it's My Beat. On special detail, there are no special hours. Dawn was at the window of my office at police headquarters when I scribbled my last report. An out-of-town school teacher was trying to beat the heat by using Columbus Circle for a burlesque runway. I buried that one behind a convenient fan. Did the boys have found Bonjour and started home up the side of it. I didn't make it. All I saw at sunrise was in an alley. The alley reserved for police ambulances coming home to the morgue. A voice stopped me and invited me in.
Danny, come here.
The man who stood silhouetted in the slice of light was a man who called himself K-Tech, a freelance photographer who hung around headquarters. You never knew he was there, but he always was.
The quality of dawn, Danny, who can hold it? Who can imprison it? It is the eternal enigma for a photographer.
Why don't you go home then, K-Tech? What keeps you here?
That ambulance, lad. Huh? You see, creative men like me have a devotion. It is always the same. Perfection. Everything neat and perfection.
Oh, so that's what it is.
I want that stretcher, Joe. Yeah, okay. Hiya, Danny.
Hi, what do you got, boys?
Suicide. Guy jumped in front of 8th Avenue Subway.
I didn't know anything about it.
I'm not your department, Danny. See you later.
See what I mean, Danny? Neat and perfection. The man they're bringing in, for instance.
What's neat about him?
That was Jimmy Dorn. A Cinderella man who only the other day won $17,000 on the Irish sweepstakes.
What?
You must have read about him, how no newspaper, no newsreel could get a picture of him.
Yeah, I remember. He was shy. I liked him for that.
But I have a picture of him.
Oh? Dead or alive?
Alive, of course. Dead is for any hack with a brownie.
Got it with you?
Mind if I see it? No harm. I've already sold it to the news. Here, look at it, Danny. Not the delicate play of light and shadow. The exquisite
guy looks happy. I've never seen anybody look that happy.
Because K-Tech took it at the moment of Jimmy Dorn's greatest joy, the supreme ecstasy of winning $17,000.
After each his own. How did you get it when no one else could?
The famous K-Tech cap. It cost me $50 to arrange it. But the news paid me twice that.
That much?
When Mr. Dorn committed suicide, it raised the price. You see in the newspaper game one this morning.
Excuse me, K-Tech. Danny Clover, give me the dope on a suicide name of Jimmy Dorn. Yeah, I know it's not my department. I'm nosy. Yeah. Lily Dorn. Third Emmy. Okay, that's enough.
You have to look, Danny. You smell something, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Be with you in a second, Gibby. Hello, Penny. Danny Clover. That's Jimmy Dorn's suicide. Tell the chief I'm going to look into it. Yeah, Penny, I know, but it bothers me. Sure, I'll grab some sleep on the subway.
I asked you, Danny, you smell something, maybe?
Why should a guy let a subway train make his wife a widow with $17,000? Why should all that sudden dough make him want to commit suicide?
Is it such a secret why men destroy themselves?
Yeah, to me. It's not neat, Kate Bank. It just ain't neat. Third Avenue is a tenement 5 stories high and miles long. At 9 o'clock in the morning, it was going full blast. The elevated housewives punching open windows, kids flipping pennies against the wall. Every 7 minutes, it screamed. Somewhere between Sam Jude's hand laundry, special attention paid to pleated dress shirts, and the Blue Star delicatessen, cream soda and hot pastrami tubits, somewhere between there was a doorbell. I pushed it.
Yeah? What do you want?
My name is Danny Culver. I want to see Mrs. Dawn.
Suddenly, everybody wants to see Mrs. Dawn. Suddenly, I'm a popular lady. Suddenly,
I'm the police, Mrs. Dawn.
You guys don't quit, do you? Oh, come on in. You want to know how it is to win $17,000? That what you want to know?
Look, Mr. Dawn, I'm sorry about your husband.
Oh, sure. You can feel any way you like.
Tell me about your husband.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
I'll tell you about him. Jimmy didn't like people. He got afraid of him once, and he never got over it. You know, I don't know. He was always running, and I ran with him. I was his wife, Mr. Clover. I didn't need to know any more than that.
But maybe you understood why he refused to see any reporter when he won all that money.
Listen, my husband was a frightened little man who won a sweepstakes. It's bought him an obituary.
That doesn't tell me much. This room tells me more.
This rat hole. This room says that, doesn't it? Rat hole.
I didn't say that, Mrs. Dawn. I'm talking about that circus poster on the wall. Patsy Mack presents the three whirling tornadoes. Was your husband a whirling tornado?
You can go now, policeman. You said your questions. Now go.
Brody, please. Why didn't you stay in that room? They can't do anything with us now.
Come right on in, mister. Who are you?
I'm a clever boy. I don't win sweepstakes, but I stay alive.
Yeah, real clever. Now, what about this circus poster, whirling tornado? Three men riding motorcycles in a barrel. This is torn for a frightened man. Your husband made a dangerous dollar.
Look, I told you all I know. Maybe you ought to get out of here.
Why should a poster come between us, Mrs. Dawn? We were getting along fine.
You heard the lady, copper. She's saying she's finished talking.
That's right, Mrs. Dawn?
Yes.
What did you say?
I said that's right.
Maybe I should have let it alone and got some sleep. But it kept eating at me. When I found out Jimmy Dawn rode a motorcycle in a barrel, everybody got unhappy. I don't like it when it gets unhappy. So I took a walk and found myself on Broadway in front of a tire building that has a lot of names. You take your choice. You walk up four flights and you get four Oscars. You're perfect for a fairy tale ballet that's opening in New York. You make a stunning cover in a muscle magazine. And you play first trumpet for the Pop Hawaiian outfit. You got a song that's designed to be public, all with a slight steel. And on the fifth floor, you find what you're looking for. The office of Patsy Mack, promoter, entrepreneur, and a dollar guy.
Well, this isn't Danny Clover.
Hi, Patsy.
You still pounding the same, Danny? Has she ever been promoted?
Promotion means a desk job away from Broadway. Who wants that?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Can I give you something?
Well, great juice would be keen.
I've got three fingers left of a bottle given me by a bearded lady. Who was enamored of my social standing. It'll bring a smile to you.
Let you drink it, Patsy, and thank her for me, Patsy. Send her a dozen blue roses, or just red roses for a bearded lady.
Yeah, I'll do that. She'll appreciate it. She loves delicacy.
Now, don't they all? Patsy, tell me a story.
Okay. And let me see. Oh, have you heard the one about...
Tell me the one about the three whirling tornadoes.
The three tornadoes? What fond corner of your memory clutched onto them?
Tell me about them.
Well, I don't remember much about them, Danny. They've been out of the business a long time. The three tornadoes, eh? Well, there were three of them.
Thanks. There was no one else connected with them.
Oh, no, no. The tornadoes ran their own carnage. Toward the villages and the metropolises.
Patsy, you've got a reputation for remembering every act that ever played a circus economy. What were their names?
Oh, you put me on my metal, boy. Now, let me see. There was a, Jimmy Dorn. Yeah, thank you. Could he be the one who ended up under a subway this morning?
I'll look into it. Who are the others, Patrick?
Well, there was a fellow named, let me see, a Russian kind of a name, Danilov. Yeah, that's it, Joe Danilov.
Joe Danilov. And the third?
Oh, now you're pressing me, boy. The third was a man named, let me see, Brady? No.
Could it have been Brody?
Brody, that's it. Why'd you know, Danny?
Brady is a short jump. Now try real hard. was no one else connected with the accident.
Well, I come to think of it, there was another guy.
Yeah.
He bought the show, I think. His name doesn't register, Danny.
This guy whose name doesn't register. Was it you?
Oh, are you kidding? I had nothing to do with the tornado.
Well, thanks a lot. You're a gentleman and a scholar, Patsy. And a life. I left Patsy there waiting his job. Nothing, which is about what I had. Nothing. An ex-carnival performer wins $17,000 and dies under the field of the subway. They say he jumped. Why should he do a fatal thing like that? Why should Patsy lie to me? A one-sheet poster said, Patsy Mack presents the three whirling tornadoes. Patsy had just told me he had nothing to do with the tornado. Well, there's another guy I know in another place I know. His name's Pop. He takes care of the file room of a magazine. Magazine that sells a lot about people, especially the people of Shelby. The file room was deserted except for Pop.
What you doing down here, Daddy?
Hang on, Pop. You don't have to hide that comic book from me.
My wife packs it with my lunch, man. Now, you take this one,
sir.
Sandra, the Jungle Queen. Ain't she a honey? Makes a man with me?
Yeah, she's keen. What are you holding on a guy named Joe Daniloff, Pop?
Take a second to find out. How was that name again?
Daniloff, Pop. P for Paul, A for Avenue, N for...
Avenue N?
Yeah, Avenue N, Pop.
Yeah, I got it. Only, you didn't spell it right, Denny.
Then let me finish.
Didn't mean to. Here's the file on Joe Daniloff, all right. Only it's D for dead.
Let me see that. Joe Daniloff, ex-carnival performer, a member of the Three Tornadoes, was found dead today at the bottom of an elevator shaft. Daniloff left no survivors, his wife having died a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how about this?
How about what?
Listen, a week before his death, Daniloff came out of obscurity to win a cross-country motorcycle race with a purse of $1,000.
So he made funeral expenses. That's hot news, huh?
Last night, another man, a man named Jimmy Cohen, came out of obscurity to win a lot of money. He died, too. Two whirling tornadoes all played off, one after another.
You know something, Danny?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry, Pop. I was playing with a jigsaw puzzle.
Well, you sit right down there and do just that. I'm going upstairs for some coffee. You want some?
Hmm?
Coffee, Daddy. Want some?
Yeah, your coffee. Be nice, Pop.
I'll just be a few minutes. Don't let anybody kidnap Sandra in the jungle.
Yeah. Yeah. Two whirling tornadoes. The third one named Brody. Maybe you'll blow away, too. Brody and the bitter widow of Dawn. And that's really nice. The sweet guy who pulled the line. That's you, Pop. I never knew what it was that slugged me on the back of my head. It wasn't a comic book. And whoever did it wasn't Pop. Just before I hit the floor, I had a flash. It wasn't Sandra the Jungle Queen either. You're listening to Broadway's My Beat with Larry Thor, Detective Danny Glover. A number of paying guests mysteriously disappear. Two elderly spinsters who entertain them have a suspiciously rising bank account. And it's a murder foreign story for KC Crime Photographer to explore on CBS Tonight. Also on CBS Tonight, you'll hear the network's famous series, Escape, in place of Suspense, while Suspense is on summer leave of absence. Tonight's opener on Escape will be John Russell's famous story, The Fourth Man, a tale of a Pacific Islander adrift on a raft with three murderous companions. Be sure to hear Murder Farm on Crime Photographer and The Fourth Man on Escape tonight. They come to you on most of these same CBS stations. And now back to Broadway's My Beat. You win a lot of money or die violently or do both and Broadway will know all about you. You get your name and your picture in the morning edition. Then Broadway won't care anymore. But I care. Maybe it's because I've got a cop's curious mind, but it bothered me why Jimmy Dorn died. So I made it my personal business. And so far, business was rotten. I was on my back when Pop got me, too. It took a little longer to find out that the press clippings I was looking at weren't around. Some new ones. Roll for some old press clippings. This needed thinking. To think a cop's got a use. The Heath is a classy sidewalk cafe on the corner of Broadway and 47th, where you stand up to a hot dog and a cup of coffee that dares you. I threw a lump of sugar at it when someone tapped me on the shoulder.
Hello, Sam. Do you mind if I join you?
Oh, okay, Greg. Not at all. Grab a napkin.
Danny, somehow you look gone symmetrical today. What happened to your head?
I had it done over.
Oh, you detectives, always intruding yourselves into violence and danger. Who did it, Dan?
Person or persons unknown.
Well, you should go home and get some rest.
What about you, Keith, eh? Don't you get any sleep either?
I am a vain man, Danny. I've been waiting for the new edition of the news to come out. It has the picture I took of Jimmy Dawn. Look at it, Danny. Is it not a magnificent reproduction?
Yeah. Quite a picture.
How'd you get the expression of an artist like me? It is a matter of precise timing. But somehow, I feel the caption beneath the picture is not right.
What do you mean?
I feel the caption should not read suicide. It should read murder.
Oh? Why'd you say that?
I have captured death in my pictures for a long time, Danny. This is the face of a man whom death was about to touch with murder, not with suicide.
You talk pretty, but you think like a cop.
The elements for murder is three, Danny. A widow with $17,000, perhaps a boyfriend, and... Wait a minute, Danny. Where are you going? You haven't touched your...
I'm going to make a call.
You can't eat fast?
Who calls on a rich widow with onions in his breath? Hey, you up there. You at the window.
Honey?
Yeah, you. Hello, Mrs. Thorne, isn't she home?
You want somebody, mister?
Mrs. Thorne, I've been ringing your bell. Where is she?
Oh.
You know where Mrs. Thorne went? There's no light downstairs.
Her?
Yeah, her.
I'm sure she had a date. For across the street.
What?
For across the street, mister.
The Eagle Tavern. I saw her go in there with a guy. The Eagle Tavern took up 40 front feet of sidewalk, and its insides were designed to take up thousands of man-hours of loneliness. Right now, there were only three lonely people: the bartender, Mrs. Dawn, and Brody. Mrs. Dawn and Brody were standing at the end of the bar crying real hard. I hated to do it, but I decided to ruin their evening for them.
You don't know when to quit, do you, Clover? Why do you keep coming around?
I was saying, Mrs. Dawn, what are you drinking, Max?
Nothing at all.
Yeah, you can nurse that a long time.
Mr. Clover, look. Please, we don't want any trouble. We got all the
time. It's this way, Mrs. Dawn. A long time ago, a man named Joe Danilov fell down an elevator shaft and was killed. Seemed like he was nobody until he won a motorcycle race. Then he got his name in the papers. Then he died. What does that do to you?
What should it do to him?
I'll try out of pressure. Joe Danilov is a whirling tornado. He belongs in your husband's bank, Mrs. Dawn. Try to react on that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You got your reaction. Over now, below.
Mrs. Dawn, you know your husband just might have been murdered.
No.
Try it, Mrs. Dawn. Consider it.
You've got no manners at all. All you've got is a loose mouth.
Wait a minute, Brody. The man said somebody might have killed Jimmy. You think so, Brody?
Ah, this guy's trying to put poison in your brain, Lily. Don't listen to him.
You think I shouldn't, huh?
Why should you listen to you, Brody?
Go read a book, copper. Go read a book and find out why I should hang around a woman who's married to my best friend, Jimmy Dawn.
Maybe you're waiting for him to die.
He did to me.
Yeah. I never thought of it before. Jimmy's dead, and that makes you number one boy to a lady who just inherited $17,000.
Oh, it it's you, Danny. Come in, come in.
I know, it's pretty perfect, but wondered if you took any more pictures of Thorne besides the one that ran in the news.
Oh, I am not like other photographers, Danny, who take thousands of pictures to get one good one. I take only one, and it is always perfection.
Well, the one in the news is the only one.
Really? It is important that there should be other ones?
Might have been. Quite a gallery you have on the wall.
Yes, yes. Come look, Danny, come look. This one, Danny. This girl who looks like a tired angel on a lonely street.
Yeah, nice.
And look, and then this one, a derelict that's sleeping together. It has the texture and the lighting of a Rembrandt, though.
Take like a man of your talent could live in a penthouse, a fancy house. Why do you live here?
I get some of my best results here.
Yeah, everybody gets some of them. You must have got this fast for this picture.
Oh, that one, yay. Well, you know my deal with the police. The minute anything violent happens, I go out with you. I get a picture. You get a body.
Who was it?
That is a man who was once Joe Donilov.
Donilov, huh?
Yes. I took this picture just after he fell down the elevator shaft. The mood of finality was magnificent.
Very dramatic, you think. Donilov was one of the three whirling tornadoes. Did you know that?
Sure. To me, Donilov was simply a man who fell down into space and died. The picture captures the sensation, don't you think? The down-sweeping lines, the shadows like a dark caress, the broken form like a broken house. Everything.
I don't think Dietrich even saw me open the door and leave. It's a long subway ride and a transfer back to Brooklyn. Coming up from an underground of naked concrete into the flare of 49th Street, well, there's a magic to it. I didn't have time to enjoy it. I had a job to do, and a chance to take. And the chance paid off. Patsy Mack was in his office working.
Okay, Danny, so I lied to you about my connection with the tornadoes, and why not? First, Joe Denlaw, then Jimmy Dorn, next, maybe me. Why should I take a chance?
They were accidents, the people said.
Oh, not accidents. Danny, not that kind.
Tell me, Patsy, why do you think you'll be next?
I don't know. Looks like everybody connected with the tornadoes is written down in a blank book.
Tell me more, Patsy.
This time I'm leveling, Danny. Once I manage the tornadoes, but I drop them like they're a basket of snakes.
Why? What they do?
Remember, I told you there was another guy there about it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. He went to a sanitarium. While he was there, the tornadoes robbed him of everything he ever had.
All three of them did that?
Yes. Danilov, Brody, and Jimmy Dorn.
Danilov and Dorn are gone. That leaves only Brody, plus the widow Dorn and 17,000 bucks. Were you ever in a sanitarium, Patsy?
No. But they might put me away for slugging a cop. Oh, what do you want me to do, Danny? Cross my heart and hope to die?
Tell me easier than that. Use your phone for me.
Anything for a friend, Danny. But you are my friend, aren't you, Danny?
Call Pillboard for me.
What?
Personal ad, Patsy. A personal ad on the front page where a guy in the show business would be sure to see it. You phrase it.
Phrase what?
Just this. Anyone connected with the act, the Whirling Tornadoes, meet at the entrance to Crescent Midway on Coney Island tomorrow night at 11. Have information to wind up affairs of the tornadoes. Phone that in, Patsy.
Because you say so, Clint?
Because the police say so. And Patsy.
Yeah?
Sign your name to it. So I had it all set up. This case had murder in it. And I was pretty sure I knew who the murderer was. It was a matter of supplying a picture. That was me. The next day, two things happened. The ad was on the front page of Billboard, and rain. When I hit Coney Island 10:30 that night, it was a wet desert. Neon reflections and stragglers and empty rides. The place was shadows on field paint and shadows on shadows. I had to spot the killer before he spotted me. So I picked one of the darkest places under the framework of the roller coaster and walked into it. I really wanted it.
Danny! It's such a night you picked to enjoy Coney Island. On a night like this, it is a dismal alley.
I'm in a dismal mood, Chafet. The gun you're holding doesn't make it any brighter.
It gives me the bravery to give orders to a policeman.
You should be. You'll be out of character, Chafet. How are you going to make it look like an accident?
I have other ideas. First, I put my gun in my hand in my pocket. Now I say to you, let's go. Walk, Danny. Walk.
You know, Chafet, I think you louched up the job. A long time ago, you told me everything was neat and perfection. You forgot to tell me you put up the door for the Whirling Tornadoes before you went to the sanitarium.
No.
So you killed Danilov and Dorn. But Brody gets away, huh?
Brody in time, policeman. But first you and I take a ride on the roller coaster.
Oh. was wondering how you'd manage it.
Neat and perfection, Danny. Now get on. I'll pay for the tickets when the ride is over. In your turn, you get in this first car. I'll sit in the car behind you.
How are you going to work this, Keith? You going to slug me and heave me over? Like I said, you can't shoot me. Then it wouldn't look like an accident.
In a few seconds, when we get to the top, you will see. And I'll keep your hands to your sides, Danny. That's better.
Can you get a picture of this one, too, Capek?
When we get to the top, you will see.
The top was 2 seconds away.
Now, Danny, stand up. Stand up.
I stood up. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw him rise.
See
how
I take
the gun out of his pocket,
like
its barrel
Danny?
At his fist. His arm came up in a wide arc, and that was the break I was waiting for. His body arched forward to strike. I twisted, grabbed his hand and elbow, and threw.
Let go! Let go! He's dead!
How long can a roller coaster ride last? Long enough. Long enough to piece together the jagged edges of some frightened lives. Danilov and Dorn murdered. Murdered because they tossed a twisted man named Cape. Brody, passing man, hugging the shadows because they were afraid of Cape extra friends. And Lily Dorn, a handful of dust and dollars.
You paid for the ride here, mister. Hey, you didn't take that ride all by yourself.
A little while later, an ambulance came and picked up the dead, broken body of Capek. They took a picture of him, too. I caught a ride back to Broadway in a prowl car. It stretches out in front of you, this street called Broadway, like a midway to some cruel and fantastic circus. You're the performer. You can walk the high wire or play it safe and cage. Me? I guess my dodge is the wire. My gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat. My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes, with script by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Musical direction is by Lud Sufkin. Be sure to join us again next week, same time, same station, for Broadway's My Beat. In just a few minutes on most of these same CBS stations, you'll be hearing the familiar strains of Someday I'll Find It.
Well, that was Broadway as My Beat. If you would happen to have an affinity for that particular show, I think you can certainly satisfy yourself, because on the archive.org site, there are, let me count, 64 episodes. All of them are by titles of a person, a suspect, or a victim in the case. Philip Tyler's story, the Mrs. Webby's dream, Michael Austin shot, Paul Tracy, Lewis Burton, Janice Bennett. I won't go on. I'm sorry, but anyway, it was a very popular show to last X number of years, from 1949 to 54. You had to be doing something, and this was CBS radio. When they moved it to Hollywood, that must have meant something also, that it was something they could make some money on. So to be a radio actor, you had to make people see it, at least in their minds. So anyway, that's it for tonight, I think. And if you want to join us next week, then we're going to cut off here a few minutes early, and we'll have Vera Lynn sing that wonderful song. She says, see you next week. Well, in so many words, good night.
We'll meet again, don't know where. don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this song. Again, don't know where, don't know where.